In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Christ is transfigured
on Mount Tabor.
Well, having celebrated the feast of the transfiguration of Christ yesterday, today we're celebrating the after feast, actually all this week, even though it's the intermission fast. Well, everything that the Lord did was with some purpose that is for our benefit. As it says in the Kentakion for the feast, "Thou wast transfigured on the mountain, O Christ our God, and thy disciples beheld thy glory as far as they were capable, that when they should see thee crucified, they might know that thy suffering was voluntary and might proclaim to the world that thou art indeed the reflection of the Father." Our merciful God sends us consolations in our life in order to help us endure the struggles that we face. And by the foretaste of the future glory of the Transfiguration, the Holy Church comforts us by showing us that after the temporary sorrows and deprivations of this earthly life, the glory of eternal blessedness will shine forth in all faithful Christians. The Transfiguration also gives us an important image for our spiritual lives, even in this present life. And by revealing the glory of His divine nature, Christ calls us to enter into His glory as far as we are able to. St. Seraphim of Sarov once said that the true aim of our Christian life consists in the acquisition of the Holy Spirit of God. But he also said that the reason that many Christians today do not have the grace of the Holy Spirit, it's because we do not seek the grace of God, and in the pride of our minds do not allow it to dwell in our souls. That is why we are without true enlightenment from the Lord, which he sends into the hearts of those who hunger and thirst wholeheartedly for God's righteousness. Well, whether we are fully aware of it or not, nevertheless, we participate in the energies of God through the grace that is given to us in the Holy Church. And this is the part of the process of theosis, or becoming one with God, uniting with God. According to Archimandrite George of Mount Athos, from his book, The Deification as the Purpose of Man's Life, he says, "What a great blessing that we commune through the Immaculate Mysteries. Christ becomes ours. The life of Christ becomes ours. His blood becomes our blood." St. John Chrysostom says that God has nothing more to give man than what he gives him in Holy Communion. Man cannot ask anything more of God than what he receives from Christ in Holy Communion. So, being baptized, chrismated, confessing, we commune through the holy body and blood of the Lord, and we too become God's, that's with a small g, by grace. We unite with God. We are no longer strangers, for we have become familiar with God. Inside the church in which we unite with God, we live this new reality which Christ brought to the world, the new creation. This is the life of the church, of Christ, which becomes ours as a gift from the Holy Spirit. Everything in the church leads to theosis. The holy liturgy, the mysteries, the divine worship, the gospel sermon, the fasting, all of these lead to this one thing. The church alone is the place of theosis. And so, you know, obviously here it is that we can draw closer to Christ. Here's where we can unite with Christ. Regardless of whether or not we behold visions of uncreated light, like the apostles were given, nevertheless, you know, sometimes I think it's God is in a parental role with us, and you know how maybe when we were kids, our parents would set aside some money, you know, for our college education, right? And we didn't know about it. In fact, we probably felt deprived. You know, we probably felt like, why don't we get more money to have fun and get a red bicycle all the time or something? But our parents knew what was good for us. They knew that their education would be important, so they set it aside. Well, I think God kind of does that with His grace. He doesn't just give us the immediate, you know, revelation of these mysterious things, these manifestations of grace. Quite probably, we would not know what to do with it if we did anyway. We'd be seeing angels and visions, and we'd go, oh, what's all this about, you know? And we might even start thinking of ourselves as something more important than we really are. So in a way, God knows what He's doing. He's setting aside our reward so that all that we do in this life to serve God and to pray and fast and so on, He's saving that up for us so that when we leave this life, we'll have a treasure waiting for us. In the book of Genesis, chapter 1, in the verses 26 and 27, we read that God created man in His image. and after his likeness. However, the Holy Fathers have affirmed that while man is certainly created in the image of God, to have God's likeness requires an effort on our part, with God's help, of course. I mean, obviously, everyone starts life as an innocent baby, but God also gives man the freedom to choose to do good or to do evil. And today's gospel gives us a powerful image of this. The unjust servant in the parable owed a great debt of 10,000 talents to the king. And some archaeologists have estimated that a talent of gold in ancient times was the equivalent of about 75 pounds. You know, they had different systems of weights and measures for gold or silver or other grain or things like that. So given today's price of gold, it's $1,285 an ounce. So one golden talent would be worth approximately $1.5 million in today's currency. So if you get your calculator out, 10,000 talents would be something like over $15 billion, you know, more than the gross revenue of some countries. In any case, this great debt was much more than the servant would ever be able to repay. And the Holy Fathers say that the king, of course, in the parable is an image of God the Father, and the debtor is mankind. So that's us. Due to our innumerable sins, we are like the servant who owes an unpayable debt. And when the king forgives the servant, this is an image of God's unfathomable love, mercy, and compassion towards us. Because this is something, you know, beyond normal human rational behavior. You know, most people, if somebody owed them a debt, you know, they would maybe give them more time to pay, or certainly the credit card companies would treat us that way, you know. But for God to just forgive such a huge debt is really showing his divine nature, you know, because virtues like this really come from God. And so, as the Lord taught us several times in the Gospels, we are also commanded and expected to imitate God in the same way, by forgiving our brothers for any offenses or shortcomings any of our brothers may have given. They are very small in comparison to our many sins. You know, the Lord admonishes us that if we do not forgive others their debts, neither will God forgive our debts. And that's what we always pray in the Our Father. Forgive us our you know, trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. So brothers and sisters, let us strive to imitate God and fulfill His holy commandments by forgiving one another. And let us climb the spiritual mountain with our Lord by making the effort to keep the fast and to pray and to give of our time and talent and treasure in the service to the church and the poor. O merciful Lord, we pray that you will look down on our small efforts to follow you and bless us with the light of your grace, that we may one day be counted worthy to live in your heavenly kingdom. Christ is transfigured.
On Mount Tabor.